Our scripture today is John 3, 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do those signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world, through him, might be saved."
C.S. Lewis, that wonderful novelist of the faith, he once remarked, if the gospel message is false, it means nothing. If true, it means everything. What it cannot be is moderately meaningful. Nicodemus came at night to see Jesus. Why do you suppose that was? Well, when no one's looking. His life, Nicodemus' life, was all planned out. He was a leader of the Sanhedrin. He was one of the in crowd in the temple. He was learned. He was wise. His life plan was already set. Showing interest, or heaven forbid, believing in this upstart rabbi would change everything for Nicodemus. He was afraid of the consequences of believing. He was afraid of the changes in his life that believing would necessarily bring. Question: what changes in your life has believing in Jesus of Nazareth brought to your life? Just think about that for a moment. What changes? And this question is not accusatory. It is to make you look inward. The season of Lent is a time for self-reflection and self-examination. Nicodemus that evening told Jesus that he knew that Jesus was from God. How did he know that? What was his answer? His answer was, because you do all of these wonderful miracles, they have to be of God. The signs and wonders. Jesus, Nicodemus acknowledged Jesus as teacher or Rabboni, but not as Messiah, anointed one. The question is, and becomes for us, how do we acknowledge Jesus of Nazareth? Our confession of faith says it all for us, does it not? I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and my personal Savior. That's what we say when we come forward and make a confession of faith and join the church. I made the statement last night at a dinner. We got a group of us were together for a guests and new members dinner. And I said, you know, if I had my druthers, we wouldn't have church members. There wouldn't be anything as a church member, because just being a church member is a set aside, isn't it? You're in my tribe now. Oh, you attend, but you're not a member yet. That day will come, surely. But when I was in seminary and I had the bad taste to share that with one of my professors, the professor of evangelism, he did not appreciate that. And he said that membership is not a separating out. And I said, but of course it is. Of course it is. I prefer the word congregant. Who in here today is a congregant? Everybody raise your hands. That's how many congregants we have today. How many members do we have today? I have no idea. There were some of you I thought had been members for like 10 or 12 years. I had an elder in the church. He was a really good friend of mine until I beat him so badly at racquetball. But we stayed friends, but we quit playing racquetball. And he had been there for 10, 12 years. He was one of the leaders of the congregation. He had never joined the church. And sooner or later, I guess after I'd been there 5 years, and he had been there almost 20 years by that time, he came forward one Sunday and joined. I said, why now? Well, he said, it just seemed right. It just seemed right. But he was no less an integral part of that congregation before his membership than he was after his membership. If I could change one thing in church governments and bylaws, I would say there's no more members. Anybody who shows up can do anything within the church. Well, I'm glad I got that off my chest. I feel better about it. Yeah. Now, the confession of faith does not necessarily have to be said in terms of joining the church. It's just a part of who we are. That is the spiritual birth that we acknowledge, isn't it? When we say, I believe that Jesus is Christ, God's Son and Savior. That's a spiritual birth that we are acknowledging. And it was a spiritual birth that Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about. Remember how Nicodemus said, how on earth can I be born again? I'm an old man. I believe that we are born to be spiritual beings. I believe that we are born to be in spiritual contact with the source of our being. I believe that God is calling to each and every one of us every day to acknowledge that it's not a part of us, it is the essence of who we are. our spiritual being. That the call from God does not just happen here once a week when the candles are lit. You know, the candles are symbolic of God's presence. In the high churches, when incense is borne down the center aisle, I used to kid with my friend Father Ken out at Holy Family, who participated in our wedding. I used to kid him about carrying the burning purse, but it's to acknowledge that we burn incense in order that God finds it pleasing. It smells good to God. But the call from God does not happen just within these walls. In fact, more often the call from God happens at the oddest moments in our lives. It can come from a friend's voice on the phone that you haven't spoken to in a long time, but it's like you were always with them. It can come from the first bird's song of the spring. We're putting out hummingbird feeders this week. My goal, I feel bad about this. My goal is to have more hummingbirds around my house than Kathy Hauser. I'm afraid it's not going to happen. Our call from God can come from a beautiful sonnet that is taken into the heart. Can come from a glorious sunrise or sunset. The sort that shows God's extravagance in creation. Can come from a baby's giggle or a lover's touch. All of creation is a call to us to accept that we are beloved children of a loving God. In fact, if you read current physics, and I've tried, but the physicists are sounding more like mystics. There's a book called The Dancing Woolly Masters, and it talks about just the spiritual nature of existence, that it's not all sticks and stones. There is a spiritual nature to mass coming together. It's mysterious. If you're a Big Bang theorist, that how did all of that matter that is and will ever be get in one point? And we ask the question, who put it there? God. Life is spiritual, whether we acknowledge it or not, and we are at our best when we're seeking that out in our lives. All of God's creation is a call to accept that we are beloved children of a loving God. Jesus tells Nicodemus that the wind blows where it will. The wind, God's breath. Remember that Hebrew word? Of course you remember that Hebrew word. Not you, Sarah. I thought I heard it. Well, kind of. That is the word for God's glory that shone all over Moses. And you got to clear your throat. It's ruach. It's breath. Bless you. God's breath, God's ruach, we hear the sound of it. Those born of the Spirit recognize it as God's call, the very breath of God. During this holy season, listen, be still. Listen for God's call on your heart. Then Jesus tells Nicodemus the reason for God calling to creation. And you know what that reason was? Well, of course you do. You say it almost every Sunday. What was the reason for that call? For God so loved. That reason is love. Creation itself is God's gift of love. As we learn more about creation, we're learning that. The physicists can teach us about that, and we can teach them something too. Jesus saw himself as bridging the gap between Creator and creation. See what I mean? As Christmas was the story of bringing God to creation in the birth of a baby, so Easter is the story of bringing creation, of reconciling creation to God in the resurrection of a Savior. Those matters of the Spirit explain why we are here and what we are to do. Love each other as God has loved us. Amen.